No, no, I have the statistics somewhere. I read somewhere. Well, I read the one on BBC long ago, which said that they're about average of 300 a year. And that it's not worth reporting. That's why they don't talk about it anymore. So only, there has to be something serious about it. Maybe a white man shoots black people. A black man shoots white people. Or you shoot Muslims. You shoot Jews. Now, please, let me tell my message. So if that young boy decides to shoot Donald Trump, what happens is that nobody's really concerned about this small boy. I mean, he's 21. He takes a gun and shoots Donald Trump. And Donald Trump dies. You know what the probe will be about? How did he get to him? What happened to the security men? How come the boy came close enough with a gun? He was not detected. And when he began to fire, how come no, what do they call them? Secret Service. How come none jumped between the boy and the president? If he was inside the car, they are wondering, how did you penetrate the armor? So when you get injured, God says, reason like a believer. Don't say, the roads in this country are bad. So that's why my car spoiled. That's why I had an accident. Like one brother told me, no, one of our big bros, he had an accident the other day, serious accident. His car, some assaulted on the third mainland bridge. He broke a few ribs, you know, and all of that. He said, once the car came to a rest, he said, the first thing he thought in his mind is, Lord, now you have my attention. What is the matter? They had not come out of the car. The car just finished flipping over and over. And he rested upside down. He was hanging upside down, still belted in. He just said to himself, Lord, now you have my attention. Now he was rushing to the airport to catch an international flight. He said, Lord, you have my attention. What is the problem? Are you see how believers reason? I want you to understand, back to the matter of the nation. Remember, anger lies where? In the bosom of fools. So, for example, if you feel an election was rigged, and you feel Jonathan was rigged out, as an example, you'll be angry every day. There are those that if they see Bola Ahmed Tinubu today, he's dead. Why? It is because of you that this man won this election. If you're a Christian, you know what the Bible says? That your anger is the anger of a fool. Why? You have forgotten that the Bible says, let's open our Bibles. Daniel chapter 4, quickly. We need to read this. Remember what I said? We're going to pray for the country with insight. We're going to pray for the country with understanding. We're going to pray in such a manner as to make our voices heard in heaven. And God will do great and tremendous things for us. If you believe that, give me an amen.
Amen.
Daniel chapter 4. For time's sake, I will not read too many. Let me just start from, for we all know the story, the revelation given to Nebuchadnezzar. Let's start from verse 24. He said, this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the king, that you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place be with the beasts of the field, and you be given grass to eat like cattle, and be drenched with the dew of heaven, and 7 periods of time will pass over you, until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind, and bestows it on whomever he wishes. And in that, it was commanded to leave the stump with the roots of the tree. Your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that it is heaven that rules. Verse 25 again, you must recognize that the whole Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. Most of the anger we have in our country is the anger of fools. Have you ever heard statements like this? The problem with this country is the problem of leadership. How can we be in a country that has professors locally, professors in Europe, professors in America, and we're arguing whether our head of state has a secondary school leaving certificate? Have you heard that argument before? How can you, I mean, people pray in church. People are occupying positions you should be occupying. Begin to pray. God, not anymore. And we will be, Lord, not anymore. You've heard it. That, now listen to this. We are in a country that has technocrats. Look at somebody like Kachiku. I still saw him today on TV. He's somewhere. Where are they meeting? In Vienna. They are discussing whether they will cut output or not. We have men like that. We have men. We start mentioning names. Men who have accomplished. Men who have accomplished. And our economy should be on top. Why is it not on top? There's a cabal that have said these people will not be in power. And you know what? You are angry every day. Why are you angry? You see potential and we are not working. You know why you are angry? Because you felt if only this man will be put in position, things should work well. You know what the Bible says? It's the anger of a fool. What, remember what a fool is? Nothing personal. Is that you are not considering the real facts. You don't know enough. If you knew enough, you would have understood prosperity is a gift of God, not the strength of your intellectuals. You would have understood that it is God that breaks the staff of bread. It's God that rains abundance on people. And you will have understood it is not the most... Listen, in United States of America, the most educated people there are Nigerians. No, what I'm telling you is not conjecture. Houston Chronicles published their study about 2 years ago. And they said the singular most educated group of people in the United States of America are immigrant Nigerians. That PhD is their normal way. When I read that report... My brain quickly did a small scan and I realized that most people I have there, they're like that. I instantly, one of my brothers, we're in school together, Emeka is a professor of petroleum law in Thurgood Marshall School of Law in Houston, Texas. He's a Nigerian. He teaches in UI, part-time. Term professor. One of my brothers that worked for Shell there, he packed his money when they did a PhD. He has a PhD. Let me not talk about the ones that are practicing physicians of all sorts. I began to reason. I said, now throw boys, they read the book. Yet you now notice something. They will now be bragging on the strength of their dropouts. I don't get my point. Bill Gates did not finish school. Michael Dell did not. Did Mark Zuckerberg finish there? Facebook, did he finish? They will start bragging that these boys were in school, they left. So we'll carry all our certificates, nothing. But listen, there's some people now say, one guy now wrote a book. If you want to do well in life, don't go to school. I called the boy. Foolishness is this one. I just said, look, forget this thing. You want to, when they say Michael Dell is a dropout, that word dropout just means he did not finish university. Doesn't mean he dropped out. You, when you drop out here, you drop out for two reasons. Either you are too poor to pay or you are too stupid to learn. It's one of two things. It's not. don't come and see us like, you know, I'm rich, I'm a dropout. After I begin, he's a dropout. Look at you. Now, I'm going somewhere now. Now, you see, we get angry a lot. Because we still think prosperity is engineered by the human mind. We still think, like somebody said to me once, one of my classmates in school, that day I lost respect for him. Before that day, I had him in high esteem because he was very informed. It was from his mouth I first heard perestroika and glasnost. When Gorbachev was restructuring things. The young man, we're classmates in university. He knew things happening in the world. It was from him I first borrowed this book by this man that died recently, the physicist, Steve Hawking. I borrowed from him that time a brief history of time. He was the one that first introduced me to people like Stephen Hawking. I borrowed the book from him, and that was the first time I understood all this warping of time, space time, black hole, and all of that. I had this guy, I had him in high esteem. Until one day he asked me a question. You know, I was a Christian. I was a campus fellowship leader on campus. He said, Banky, is it true that Nigeria is having this problem because there are not enough Christians in Nigeria? I foolishly answered him. I said, not really because we're not enough Christians, but because there are not enough, that the Christians are not doing what they are supposed to be doing. And he laughed at me when the boss going for rural posting, community medicine, he laughed at me as if I was talking foolishly. The Americans came together, arranged their country, and it's going forward. We can't come together and arrange our own country. And then look at me saying that it's because Christians are not doing what they're supposed to do. The moment he said it, the respect I had for him came crashing down. Do you know why? It wasn't because it was not just a matter of faith that I didn't have faith. It's just that I said, how can you be so foolish? How can 100 million people gather and agree on anything? Is it possible? Is it humanly possible for that number of people to agree? Have you never seen the way they attack themselves every day in the media? Can't you understand that one of their own founding fathers said, it appears that there is something moving the nation forward that he, the head of state, the president, could not understand. Don't you understand that the prosperity of America, this position they occupy on the surface of the earth today, in the history of mankind, was determined from before the days of Daniel? That was why Daniel could tell you history that will happen in 500 years. Daniel will tell you history. You see how I'm putting it? It has not yet happened. But to Daniel, it was history. Yes. He will tell you, this is what will happen. A king from the north will come. He will overtake this particular king. Then the one from south will come and attack him. This one will pull him down. And there won't be... He described people like Alexander the Great when his great-grandfather had not been born. He described how their kingdoms will run. He will tell you it will run for this period of time, then it will end. He described all the way down to the Roman Empire. And he talked about a kingdom that will come and will never end. Was that not what happened when Nebuchadnezzar did not understand it? So he said, is this not Babylon the Great that I built the strength of my might for the glory of my majesty? So God said, what an idiot. A kingdom that I determined long before now, you are telling me you build with the strength of your might for the glory of your majesty? How can you? So said the watcher said, Lord, what do we do? He said, cast him down. Take him out of the way. Cut him down. But I have use for him. Lock him down for 7 seasons of time. Then let him watch the kingdom grow. Then the kingdom grew. I don't know how long 7 seasons of time was. Then one day his sanity came back to him. And he looked at Babylon. He couldn't recognize it. Before he went mad, the tallest building was probably 20 floors. When he woke up, they had built one of 40 floors. Before he went crazy, maybe the Navy had 2 aircraft carriers. By the time he woke up from his madness, they had 5. They had conquered more land. He found out that his generals were still conquering, not knowing that he was not was out of his mind. He woke up, Babylon was bigger, more glorious. And then when he woke up, they said, sir, how are you feeling now? He said, I'm fine. Please, sir, return to your throne. We kept it for you. He said, now I worship the God of heaven. So if America is great today, it is God that said, be great. And when God is tired, he will say, it is enough. Give the kingdom over to Russia, if that's the way he wants it. People have made noise. China, China, China. I said, stop making noise. If God says China will not rule this world, it will not. There is nothing inherently great in the Chinese man. It is God that determines who rules. Reagan died some years ago. Recently, his vice president died, another American president. That was a few days ago. George Bush. And I was watching the story of George Bush. George Bush said, you know, he presided over the breakdown of the Berlin Wall. You know what I like about him? I said, why do we like to just lie against God? He may have been a good gentleman, fine. But as per the breaking down of the Berlin Wall, it had nothing to do with Ronald Reagan or with George H.W. Bush. It was God that said, a time will come, I will bring this to an end. When I was a house officer, 91-92, I heard Kenneth Copeland describe a vision he saw in which there was a giant snake, a red snake, which we all know represented communism. And he saw how this tape was preached in the 70s, and that a hand came from heaven and chopped it to pieces, and that the head turned around and saw that the rest of him was gone. And at that time, I was becoming aware of world events. And Kenneth Copeland gave an interpretation to his dream, which I disagreed with. The dream, I agreed, but I said, this interpretation, sir, no. And my interpretation was correct. Now, I'm not saying I'm more spiritual than him. It's just that world events at that time helped me understand the interpretation. That red serpent obviously was USSR. The head was Russia. And Russia had taken over all the republics around, and they were all under one single USSR, dominated basically by Russia. at that time, of course, that head, you hear the head, you know, the body of Christ. Christ is the head. So it's a person. At that time, Mikhail Gorbachev represented the head when it happened. Mikhail Gorbachev said something to everybody. They had some arrangements. Before he knew what was happening, the republic had broken up into all the original constituent parts. Estonia was gone. Ukraine was gone. Are you getting my mind? Belarusia was gone. All of them had disappeared. What's the one that they are calling the other day? It's Ukraine. There's another one. Anyway, they are all over the place. Then, you know what happened? Mikhail Gorbachev looked and realized that he was alone. He resigned from being the secretary. That was the title they used that time. Because there was nothing to be secretary over anymore. I said, the word of God has been confirmed. He looked and he was surprised. He turned around suddenly. USSR disappeared. People said, I remember watching this man on TV. What is his name? I saw the clip recently. Ronald Reagan said, we won the Cold War. I said, don't gloat. You did not win any war. God said, I'm bringing communism to an end. And in his time, he brought it to an end. Listen, this is the word of God. Time will not let me go into details. Any head of state appointed in Nigeria was appointed by God. Not your vote. God helping me, I will talk about how to vote. I want Christians to know the meaning of voting. You don't appoint the head of state, he does. The scripture says he does. He said, but what if the head of state is bad? It doesn't matter. Listen, the Bible says clearly, he is the governor amongst the nations. Go and read Psalm 22. God is the ruler of the nations. What we don't understand is that he does not rule as a kind, benevolent ruler. He rules as a judge. God is the judge over Nigeria. You know the meaning of judge? I need to explain the meaning of judge. Because what we think is that anytime God is in charge, everything must be sweet. That's not true. I need to explain that. So when we see what we call a bad leader, you know what we assume? He was not appointed by God. Let me say it to you again. Adolf Hitler was handpicked by God. God said to him, You will rule the Germans. You will wage war over Europe. You will destroy 6 million Jews. Did he like it? There's a difference between what he likes and what he rules. Let me ask you a simple question. This I always prove it to people. True or false? Saul was a horrible king. Yes. No, answer me. True or false? Saul went into a village occupied only by priests and killed everybody. What was their offense? They gave food to David. And they explained to him, we thought you sent him on an errand. He told us that the king's matter is urgent. So we gave him food. He said, do we have any sword? We gave him the sword that he fought for, the sword of Goliath. Saul was so enraged with anger and jealousy, he killed everybody. Now, when I say everybody, all of them, priests of the Most High God, who appointed him king. What did God say concerning Pharaoh? The one that persecuted the people of Israel. The one that slaughtered their firstborns, their sons. The ones that increased the burden on their necks. The ones that said that make sure these people don't increase. What did he say concerning him? He said, for this cause, I raised you up to become Pharaoh. That is, you were nothing. I brought you from nothingness and made you a Pharaoh. He said, I want to show my glory through you. Was Pharaoh a good king? How can you be killing boys and you're a good king? You saw what he did to the Israelites. Until God finally destroyed the strength of his own nation in the firstborn and his army later on in the Red Sea. Yet God said it. I appointed him. Adolf Hitler was appointed by God. Nebuchadnezzar was called the servant of God. When they ran to Egypt, he said, here, my servant, Nebuchadnezzar, will come and meet all of you that ran here and kill all of you here. So please, wipe it from your brains that it is possible to have a head of state he did not appoint. It is not possible. What if we all voted for the man and he won? He told all of you to go and vote. And he told INEC, count their votes. There were times in the past you voted and it did not count. For every vote that counts, he ruled that it should count. Remember, anger lies where? In the bosom of fools. So Christians don't understand, so they become angry. Every day, angry with our founding fathers. Who's, you know, those days now. That's one time in the East. So people are angry with Zeke of Africa. These are Igbo men angry with Zeke. Why? They said that Awo told him that time that they should go their own. That Zeke wanted to carry everybody along. Look where we are today. The man was doing the will of God in his generation. Let me say to you, prophetically, Nigeria was specifically carved by God. How many of you have read this book that says that Nigeria was created under Mami Water Ocean? There's a book like that. But don't believe that stuff. It's not true. This nation was prepared by God himself. And listen to this. He appoints every head of state. And the time you will prosper, he's the one that will say this nation will prosper. The problem of the country is not bad leaders. The bad leaders are a result of the fact that God has not yet appointed a time of prosperity in that area. The moment he does, the good leaders will arise. That's why we Christians are not afraid to pray. Because we know that the only way we change the things outside is by changing the things inside. Let me give you this story, beautiful story. One brother came to my office many years ago, didn't know I was there, came to get some material, books and CDs. So along the line, just asked my co-worker who was in the office that day, where's Pastor? He said, Pastor is inside. He said, can I see him? So that guy came in and said, Pastor, this guy would like to see you. So he walked in, and we had about 45 minutes to 1 hour of beautiful fellowship. I had a good laugh. He's a young man, at that time he was just going back to school to go and study law. He had been a local government counselor for some time. He said once he had a dream. And his dream, an angel told him that I think he bought a farm, wanted to be a counselor. Election was coming up. And in a dream, an angel told him what to do, how to handle the day of the election, to go from one polling booth to another, collect the copies of the results, and all of that. So that day of the election, he was on the back of a motorbike in his ward, going from one place to the other. At the end of the day, he won the election and became what? Local government counselor. Okay. He did very well. His people liked him. Next time they all the people agreed that he'll be their next local government chairman. Can you understand that? Then he slept again and dreamt. And the angel came and told him that do everything you want to do, you will not win that election. The angel told him clearly that do everything you want to do, the Lord has said you will not win this election. Now, to let you know the word of God is powerful, he contested, he campaigned. He did everything. In fact, before the election, he told me something. That he came to him, his friend, and said, let's go to one Babalawo, one Ogbonge Dibia. So he told them, can't the people see that I'm a Christian? Why would I go to a Dibia? So he left. They left. Then they came back and said, since you are a Christian, we found a pastor. So this time around, he followed them. I'm beginning to wonder whether it was not all for one night. Because when he got there, the pastor told him that how much money had he earned as a counselor? They needed to bring the arrears of the tithes before he would pray. Foolishly. Okay, he said he didn't have money. Because he was a nice guy. He wasn't the type that stole money. He said the man didn't have money. The man said, should go and find the money. So he went. He said he went to one lawyer to lend him money. And the lawyer said he should bring collateral. He said, the only thing I got for all these my years of serving people, I bought a car, a 505, of course, used. So he brought the car and gave to the lawyer and collected money and gave to who? The pastor. And the pastor declared, in the name of Jesus, every enemy that says you will not win, I begin to declare and I cast down. And so they pray. Day of election. This will surprise you. He won. Hallelujah. Wait, sir. Wait. They counted the votes. He was a popular guy. He didn't. People told him, look, we need you. He was popular. The people gathered and said, we want you. So that he won counting the votes was not the surprising thing. It's just that just before they announced the result, the governor of his state was fighting for a second tenure. I know there are some people that the Bible calls principalities and powers in politics. One of the principalities and powers, the governor went to that one and said, please, sir, I need your support. I need your principalities and powers support. That one said, you have my support. There's only one thing. This particular local government seat, I have my candidate for it. They had voted. About to declare result. When the governor called them, everybody stopped. He gave them, this is your local government chairman. He gave to a man who did not even contest the seat. So everybody gathered in government house. We no go agree, oh, we no go agree. The governor came out and saw them. What is it? Everybody calm down. He was with the governor. He came out with the governor and explained to them that he has made his decision and nothing can change it. And he went back inside. Now, why am I telling the story? Everybody was angry except for the man who just got denied of his seat. Why? Anger lies in the bosom of who? Fools. He was enlightened. He knew what happened. That the God of heaven has said, do what you want, you will not get that seat. The same God who sent him the first time. And I have a strong feeling as I was speaking. I've not seen him in a very long time. I feel like telling him, oh boy, do you know why God told you that? If I see him now, I will tell him this. Because the time will come, I will need you to rise up against all the principalities gathered. But you will go on the strength of my word, and they will not be able to do anything. That was practice. God just gave him that practice. God told him, you know, everybody was angry. He said he just calmed down. He was walking with the governor. He was not moved. When Jesus was crucified, think about it, was injustice. Which law did he break? None. The only laws he broke were the laws of the people written by hand, modifying the laws of Moses. He had no respect for them. But the laws of Rome, he didn't break those laws. The laws of God, he did not break those laws, yet they took him and crucified him. Pilate had the chance to release him, but for one reason or the other, he did not. As Jesus went to the cross, everybody was angry. The women were crying. Anger lies where? In the bosom of fools. They didn't know what was going on. But was he angry? No. He said before that time, come, let us go. Are you getting my point? He said, for this cause I came to this hour. He said, will I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? He said, no, but for this cause I came to the hour. So as soon as he stood there, all that while that Pilate was judging, Pilate was saying, will I release you? I want to release you. He was thinking, Pilate, you can't release me even if you wanted to. Why? For this cause I came to this hour. He couldn't be angry. That's why one day recently I prayed. I said, God, anything can happen to me in life. I won't be angry. Even if you have me shot and killed, there's only one thing I just want to have confidence in. Let me just be sure I did not sin and I'm being punished. Let it be that this is exactly God's will for me in this moment. For this cause, I came to this hour, he said. So he could not be angry. I am telling believers, that's why you will not be angry anymore. If they elect a man you don't like, you will smile. Do you know why? Nobody can sit on the seat except God says so. In Kogi State, a man was governor for 8 years. Then one day he returned, he said, I want to be governor again. And God said no. The man wouldn't listen. He said, I want to be governor again. I said, my people want me. God said no. The man contested. God said, go ahead. The day of the election, he was winning. They got to his house, he was dead. God said, I told him he cannot sit on that chair. Machinations for 2018, for 2019, it doesn't worry me. I'll talk later on, for times I won't do it today, we'll talk later on how to vote. The person who will sit on that seat was determined by God. Of the people you are looking at now, if God says none of them will sit, it's not new. Everybody's blaming Babangida, Babangida. Babangida did not have the power to annul June 12. It was God, the governor amongst the nations, that said, MKO, you will not sit on that chair. There are different things, but I heard a snippet of it. Part of it was some Christians were angry. And they said, for the role you played, whether they did it rightfully or wrongfully, I don't know. But one thing they did was that they went to God and said, for the role this man played in OIC, for the support he gave to the Islamization of Nigeria joining the Organization of Islamic Countries. You understand? That's the Islamic Conference, something like that, OIC. They said, no, Lord, he will not rule us. For that alone. Some people said, no, they refused. And Tunde Bakare came out and prophesied. He said, NLC will lose, but SDP will not win. He said, are there no elders in that home anymore? Somebody tell my cousin, because they are cousins, they are relatives. He said, somebody tell my brother he will never rule Nigeria. Oh, look, I was a youth cop at that time, 93. He won, I was in Taraba State, he won. He won in Bashir Tofa's local government. Bashir Tofa was his opponent on NRC side. He was a presidential candidate for SDP. But in Bashir Tofa's local government in Kano, MK Wabiola won. And God says, that is what they think. They are not the governor amongst the nations. They were counting and counting and counting. After a while, God said, thus far and no further. Babangida gave the shortest speech I've ever seen him give. Just about 15 minutes, fellow Nigerians, because of irregularities of the election, annulled. MK Abiola came and said, you cannot abort a pregnancy after the baby has been born. God said, I'm warning you. See, you must know when not to kick against the pricks. The man would have still been alive if you just say, God, you are the governor amongst the nations. If you say no, I take it as no. He wouldn't accept the no. Finally, God did like this. The Bible says he withdraws his spirit and they expire. You know why we Christians relax? One of the reasons why I don't have the ability to be criticizing government. The person you criticize, you are giving him too much power. I just came back from Kaduna and I told the people, don't ever gather your money to support a candidate because, you know, Kaduna is very polarized. Not like the South where we don't draw our swords on religious grounds much. You understand my point? Especially in places like River State. We all are Christians. Even the Ogboni amongst us, we are Christians. So it doesn't matter. But I told people, I said, listen, if you gather your money and sponsor a candidate thinking he will deliver you from trouble, God has a responsibility to frustrate that arrangement. Sometimes the person he wants to use to deliver you will be a Muslim. Just leave God alone. You will learn to pray. I said, just leave him alone. You will learn to pray. You will learn to confess your sins. You will learn to declare the lordship of Jesus. And look, that's why I tell Khan, Christian Association of Nigeria, you are not a political party. You are not allowed under God to support any candidate. If you are a head of a congregation, don't stand near any candidate publicly. Don't. Let them all come to your church. They are welcome. If they say they want to come to camp, hey, all of you come. One after the other. Me not come. We'll pray for you. As you are leaving, your opponent comes to pray. In fact, we'll write the prayer down. We'll read the same prayer over both of you. If Fela Dirotoye comes, we'll read the prayer over Fela Dirotoye. If Obiek Ezekwesili comes, we'll read all of them. In fact, once three of you have come, we'll send for all of the other ones. If they don't come, we'll send the prayers to their houses. Why? Because we must not allow Christians to fix their eyes on any human being as a hope for deliverance. In 93, you know what MK Abiola's campaign was called? Hope 93. God said no. It was called Hope 93. God said, hope? Hope? Let's see. Then their hope scattered. And everybody was fighting in Lagos. Street riot, everything. I just look all of them. Go home and cool your temper. The ruler amongst the nations has spoken. Remember I started with what? Anger lies where? In the bosom of fools. Now where? We are not fools because we have the enlightenment of the spirit. So we know next election, the leader that will win is appointed by who? God. It does not mean we don't individually have political convictions. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean we should not vote. I will discuss this tomorrow. For time's sake, I want to end now. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that if you're a politician, you will not campaign. It doesn't mean if you're a member of PDP, you will not campaign for Atiku. I don't know whether I get my point. It doesn't mean if you're an APC, then I will not campaign for, but no. Everybody, let's take ourselves as citizens. We all have what is called a civic duty. Part of it is having your voter's card and casting your vote according to your conscience. There are things you will say, because every vote you cast is a statement before God. It does not appoint the ruler, it's just a statement. So if you say, Lord, I want the best person who can rearrange the economy of the nation, God will show him to you, that is, not the winner, but the best who can arrange the economy. Through analysis and understanding, he will let you know that this guy is the best. Then the day of election is watching you. You will not get there. Let us assume that Mr. XYZ is the best, but he's from the north and you are from the south. You now go there and say, are they the only ones that will rule? This house are full of people safe. Then you vote for Mr. ABC because he's from your state. You know what God says? Oh, foolish Galatian, you have been praying for the last 1 year that you appoint a man who can turn around the economy. I revealed him to you. You voted nepotically. Is that English good?
Yes.
Good. At least for now. Thank you. God said, by that vote, you have annulled all your prayer for 2 years. Did the vote appoint the ruler? No. It's just that you made it clear to me for 2 years of praying that what is more important, most important to you at this time is accountability to understand and turn around the economy. Then I showed him to you, but he's not from your zone. And in anger, you rejected what could have been the Lord's anointed, thereby saying, God, economy is unimportant as long as my brother is the head of state. That is how Christians sometimes behave. It's called worldliness. And they go to the polling booth and annul their prayer. It's a prayer that matters, but they went to the polling booth and annulled the power of the prayer. There are things that faith says you must grow beyond. One of the most backward things on this earth is tribalism. It's one of the things that God says break out from early. Once you become a believer, it's one of the things you'll be able to break away from very quickly. Very quickly. Very, very quickly. And don't let anybody reintroduce it to you through any guys. I went to Sokoto last year. Was it this year? I was there this year, but this one I'm talking about was last year. And at the airport, when I arrived, I was a guest of PFN. All right? They had their statewide youth convention. I was their guest minister. And one of the pastors that came to greet me, his name was Pastor Suleiman John. Look at him. Vintage Fulani look. Pure Fulani man. I shook his hand. If you let somebody start praying for you, teaching you to pray, every Fulani man die. Pastor John will die. There are things that we Christians just do differently. Think about this headsman thing. Go and read your Bible. Who wiped out the servants of Job? Headsmen. No, go and read it. Cast two rustlers. Anger lies where? In the bosom of fools. Well, you are not a fool. You know who actually took away Job's servants? Who was it? It was Satan, instructed by who? God. So when you see those Sabians that attacked him, you're not angry. Because you knew that except the Lord withdrew the hedge around Job, who are they? So when we now see attacks from places, we don't react the way unbelievers react. I was in Makurdi. When do you go to Makurdi? Israel? Last month, Abi? Eh? Okay, it was in November, yes. When Makurdi, November. Exactly what I taught to them. Because they have the heat hottest, Benue State. I said, Christians, don't be carried away by the errors of unprincipled people. Question you need to ask is, Lord, what's going on? Because if God abandons you, you will suffer all kinds of calamity. But if he turns and smiles at you, calamity will melt and disappear. So you ask God, what happened? What have we done? What is our sin? Remember I said, God is not ruling as a kind, benevolent ruler. He's ruling as what? A judge. Which means that the soul that sins, it shall die. Even in his kingdom. People think that if God appoints a leader, everything will be sweet. Like I always say, now, let me end with this one. Why does he appoint who he appoints? Why am I preaching as I'm preaching? Remember I started by everybody's on the path to what? Destruction. The whole world lies in that path. The whole world lies in that path.
Then God says, how do I reverse it? He said, let there be light. Remember what he said at the beginning? The heavens, you know, the earth was without form, and it was void, darkness upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was upon the surface of the waters. And I said, then God said what? Let there be light. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So God, when he wants to solve the problem of Africa, of Nigeria, of River State, of Benue State, he says, let there be church. Not the church building. Let there be what? The church of Christ. You, me. He said, come, O house of Israel, let us walk in the light of the Lord. If we walk in the light, the darkness will go. Are you getting my point? So God said, you know the solution? Is the church. The foundation and the, no, he said the pillar and the support of truth. That is the church. They are the ones that I will use to dispel the darkness. They are the ones. Why? Because the darkness upon the earth is first of all inside the hearts of people. So when I want to dispel that darkness, I say, let there be church. Then they come in with the light of Christ. As they come in and walk in the light, they start dispelling the darkness. It's what is inside the hearts of people that pollutes the ground. It's the wickedness of human beings that invite all these clashes. Time will not allow me now. I've read Isaiah chapter 19. God says, I, the ruler, the judge, when I want to judge the Egyptians, you know what I do? He said, I hand him over to the hands of a cruel master. A cruel person will start ruling over him. It's another thing I do to the Egyptian. When I want to punish him, I turn him against his neighbor. For 50 years, the herdsmen will have been there grazing. The farmer would have been here, no trouble. Then when they sin, and their sin rises up against them in judgment, and Satan accuses them successfully before the throne, I turn their hearts against each other. Before they know what's happening, they start killing each other. Go and study Isaiah chapter 19. That is God said, listen, you, if you like, negotiate from now till tomorrow. Except I give peace, nobody will experience it. Negotiate power sharing from now till tomorrow. Except I grant peace, nobody will experience it. But people will be angry, not realizing when there is no peace, it is because the judge of the heavens and the earth has been annoyed. They have offended him. So when they want peace, they don't go to negotiation. They go to repentance. They go to him and say, Lord, have mercy on us. They go to him and say, Lord, give us your peace. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the God that makes wars cease. They go to him and ask for his mercy. They stop pointing fingers. That's why I began with anger lies in the bosom of fools. Those who don't understand the spiritual realm, those who understand the realm of the spirit, they react differently to the physical things they see. When they see communal clashes intensify, they remember Isaiah chapter 11. When they see a wicked man take authority, they remember that same Isaiah chapter 11. That why are we under a cruel master? And Job said, Elihu said to Job, why wouldn't they come and say, where is God my maker? You know the first impact of faith? It's in our lives. Now our topic is God's change agents. The whole of today, I'm ending now, I've introduced the principle upon which we are speaking. And we said we are discussing the impact of faith on the what? The society and the nation. But I want you to know, the first impact that faith has is in us. And you know what it does? It said, by faith we understand. First thing faith does is to give us what? Understanding. Without faith, we have no understanding. Without faith, we are guessing. Without faith, we are angry needlessly. Without faith, we are still pointing fingers. But faith tells us God rules. He appoints rulers. He appoints the head of state. And when we ask him for mercy, he shows us mercy. I hope you get my point. And by faith, we walk. Now, because that's what I want to talk about next time. Faith affects our environment. Listen, my people, we must fight for the land. Not directly, but by faith. And then we must realize that we are God's change agents. Tomorrow I'm going to discuss something, if God allows me, how faith will cost you sometimes because you are sowing a seed. Christians think seed is just, I carry money and put in an offering basket. That's not all. There are times you just make up your mind. See this bribe? I won't give. You lose the job, let's lose it. Why? I heard that we have to be at least 5% who does righteousness. Christians, anytime you fall for temptation, never think that God is, you know, God won't send me to hellfire. It's not about hellfire. It's about the fire you are creating on the earth. The problem you are creating. Every time you walk in iniquity, you are not injuring yourself alone. You are emitting radioactive substances into the environment. Let me ask you a question. When God said, I am coming to Sodom and Gomorrah to see whether it will be like they said, he said, I couldn't see it from heaven. Have you ever asked yourself that question? When Abraham said, 10 righteous, and God went in there to look for 10 righteous, is it that from where he was standing, he couldn't discern the hearts of the people? I thought about it, and the Lord gave me an understanding. He said, you see, when I'm judging these things, I needed to come in flesh, so that if another human being, if I put him on the throne to judge, he will give the same judgment if he has my understanding. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I'm not going to say something here. God is saying that I want to see them do demonstrable righteousness. 10 righteous people, not 10 thanking people. I mean 10 people who don't take bribes. I mean 10 people who, because of their faith, they don't touch other people's wives. I mean 10 people that don't tell lies. I mean 10 people who ran for election and did not buy one ballot paper, even though they knew they could lose. I mean 10 people who told the INEC official, I ain't giving you a bribe, even if it will save your life. He said, you will lose. 10 people who said, if I lose, let me lose. 10 people who understand that if God has appointed me the ruler, the senator, the House of Rep member, any man who stands is standing against God, not against me. There was a brother I heard about, contested House of Rep, he won. Men who had more power than him decided that they would challenge him in a court, in tribunal, you understand, and bribe the tribunal men. And they did. They bribed heavily. And they didn't have the money. Because you don't bribe with prayer, you bribe with money. So brethren prayed with him and left the matter to the judge. And you know what happened? A few days before the judgment was read, the big men controlling the judges, because you know what Solomon said, every supervisor has a supervisor over him. Everyone has somebody above him. The ones above those ones decided that these people, something is not right. They did what? Cancel the whole sitting, disbanded the panel, and constituted another one. And you know, on bribery, there's no refund. So the new panel came in, sat down, and confirmed his position in a few days. Just collected all the paper, looked at the evidence, looked at the evidence. Every man don't tire. Next thing they called the bro, you have won. Off to the House of Assembly. Federal House of Reps. That's how he got it. That the people that, listen, understand something. If God says yes, nobody can say no. God says, 10 righteous people, I mean 10 people who do righteousness. Not who go to church and wave their hands. That was why he had to come physically. So that it would be things that everybody can see. Faith has an impact. Let me end to this message with this. We need to walk with it. Otherwise, the nation is doomed. And we can't escape the doom. Because those of us he gave the job to rescue the nation, if we run, his judgment will catch us wherever we run to. Let's rise to our feet. Let us pray. Let's give the Lord thanks this evening. Let's give the Lord thanks. Just thank you for understanding. Thank you for the understanding that he has shown you today. Just thank you for that understanding. The understanding that he showed you today. Just thank you for that understanding. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Because I'm no longer a fool. You see? I'm no longer a fool. There's no anger in me. Now I worship the God of heaven. Now I worship the God of heaven. Oh. Say, Lord, I repent of anger. Now you can repent of anger. Say, Lord, thank you. Now I worship the God of heaven. Now I worship the God of heaven. Oh, I like the way Nebuchadnezzar said it. I bless the Most High, and I praise and honor him who lives forever. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. All PDP members are accounted as nothing. All APC kings are counted as nothing. But he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? Worship that God. I've just read to you from Daniel chapter 4, from verse 34 and verse 35. Worship him. Worship him who is the ruler. Who is the ruler among the nations? Worship him whose dominion is everlasting. Worship him whose kingdom endures from generation to generation. Worship him who rules in heaven and who rules on the earth. Worship him, the one whose hand no one can ward off. The one that one cannot say to him, what have you done? That's Yoruba will say, Kabiosi. That is the word. Worship him this evening. Thank him because anger is out of your life.
Father, we just thank you. Let's just bless the Lord. The Lord has been good to you. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word, eternal Father. Blessed be your name. Father, now pray for yourself. Say, Lord, there's a spirit you are pouring out today. Let that spirit take root in my life in the name of Jesus. Pray for yourself. Say, Lord, let the spirit of the word that you have poured out today, let it possess me. Father, I don't want the words only. I want the spirit of the word. Lord, the spirit you are sending out today, let it possess my life. Say, Lord, I don't want the words only. I want that word to become flesh within me. The Bible says the word became flesh. Say, Lord, let your word that has come out today, let it become flesh within me. Let that word possess me. Let that word drive me. Let that word influence my decisions. Say, Lord, let your word, let it become flesh within me. Let the spirit of that word possess me. Let it give me life. Let it direct me. Let it motivate me. Let it empower me. Let that word empower me to take the right decision in the face of opposition. Say, Lord, your word that is come forth today, let it affect my environment. Let it affect my life. Let it affect my home. Let that word possess me indeed. Let the word become flesh within me. The word I have heard today, become flesh within me. The word that I have heard today, become flesh within me. I have heard and I hear indeed. The word has become flesh within me. In the name of Jesus, every unrighteousness leaves me. I am now a practitioner of righteousness. I am a practitioner of righteousness indeed. When the Lord comes, he will find me as a practitioner of righteousness. I receive the spirit of today's word. The word becomes flesh within me indeed. In the name of Jesus, word, you will not go. You will not go away. You become flesh within me. I will not lose that word. Lord, cause your word to become flesh within me today. Father, we thank you for the revelation of your word. We thank you for the revelation of truth. We thank you for new light. We thank you for divine direction and for grace. We thank you for the outpouring of your spirit. We thank you, Lord, because we are in a new place that is different from where we are coming from. We thank you, Lord, because our feet are set on the right pathway and we are following that pathway. We thank you for light. We thank you for divine revelation. We thank you for divine direction. Blessed be your name, eternal Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord.